Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to another episode of
From the Level.
I'm your host, Moshi.
Oh.
What the fuck?
Having a medical episode, Moshi.
For those at home, Patrizio just attempted to do a Sutton.
I have to go.
I don't know what that was. It was embarrassing.
I just think it's funny that I don't want to have to answer to anything at the Beverly Hills reunion this week.
That's fine. But that was so awkward for you. Just be blessed that I don't put... Maybe this is the start of me putting the recordings on TikTok. Maybe this is the week it happened.
Look, I just want to say that... Moshi, normally I like to start with a tagline, but I would like to quote Tammy Knickerbocker today.
Oh, blessings.
Who said, "I don't drive under the influence. I am the influence. You drive under me," in the words of the great Karen Huger.
Was that Karen Huger or Tammy Knickerbocker?
Tammy Knickerbocker, inverted commas, tweeted that today. Which I feel is relevant.
Why?
Because Karen Huger doesn't drive under the influence.
Oh, I mean, look, I know you're going to talk about... Oh, I know you're going to talk about it on your...
My rant.
Wow, that's so dark, Patty. I hadn't gone there as to...
Let's get into it, Moshi.
All right. Okay, Sutton, what's the word on the street?
Name him. Okay.
Maybe we should change the segment to name now that, you know, Sutton gets words. You know what? I actually have to go. Let's rewind. Everyone, thank you for listening. We're back again this week. If you haven't figured it out yet, we've lost our ability to podcast, but we're trying. This week, as promised last week, we are doing a Tale of Two Finales Part 2. This week we are just talking about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Season 13 Reunion. But before we get into all of that, Sutton, what's the word on the street? AKA name.
Okay, so we found out that Karen Huger was involved in a car accident. She was driving the Maserati, her 2017 Maserati, over the speed limit and, like, has completely totaled the car. She is alive and well. Thank God.
Thank God.
She has since released a statement saying that she went out for dinner with one of her friends, that some sensitive topics were raised. We're coming up to Mother's Day in, like, 2 months' time. And she was feeling quite emotional and overwhelmed. And when she drove home, she was involved in an altercation with her car. I feel like she neglected to mention that she has been, like, done for DUI.
Hey. Has she?
What do you mean, has she? Yeah, like, everyone's reported on it.
I haven't.
Sorry. I didn't realize that you were...
Name him. Oh, baby Jesus. Not the grand dame.
The grand dame. Yes, she was charged with DUI.
You know who's just guaranteed herself another season?
I know. But you know what? Shannon Bedore's already done this. Like, talk about recycling a storyline.
But... Not recycling a storyline, but this was a Maserati. This wasn't a Shannon's was brilliant because she then pretended to be walking her dog. But Karen, sensitive topic. So obviously talking about her mama, but the way Giselle and him are going to come for her. You know what? I might tune in next season just for Karen's accountability on this. I want to see Karen doing community service. I want to see her on the side picking up rubbish.
She's already doing community service in Surrey County.
That's not community service. She's the mayor, okay? She's not really, but she could be. Maybe, you know, what'll happen next season Karen will have to get a driver because she won't be able to drive anymore. And then she'll make out with her driver.
Blue eyes.
One can only hope.
It's the chocolate. Like, it could be any of these men.
Or somebody new who we've never even met before.
See, Moshi, you're missing critical context because you just haven't seen the season of Potomac.
Oh, is she cheating again this season?
Well, it's raised again this season.
Well.
With the trainer.
With who?
The trainer.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Get herself a hottie. Do you still think her and Ray have an agreement?
I don't think they have an agreement, but I think they have an understanding.
Yeah, whatever the difference is.
One is like it's unspoken.
Okay. Okay, I see what you're picking up. I see what you're putting down.
Thank you. You're welcome. Welcome.
What else is the street saying?
Honestly, like the way in the last 24 hours, just like it's not even 24 hours, last 12 hours, Larsa Pippen is single again. She's reintroduced herself on Instagram.
Can I say something? Is she single or is she just broken up with Marcus? Because knowing Larsa, if you told her she was single, she will tell you that she's not.
No, I think this time it's for reals.
Yeah, I think they've split for reals.
Sad. Pull one out.
I think it's for the best.
I kind of love them together, though.
Not anymore. Traitors, yes, but after Miami reunion, no.
I don't think we got a chance to discuss this last week, but on the Traitors reunion, it was interesting because obviously Miami had filmed they were together, but then by the Traitors reunion, all of this like on again, off again had happened. And so Andy had an opportunity to raise with Larsa and Marcus, what is the status of your relationship? And they were kind of like, we hit a speed bump, but we're on track again.
Lies.
I know.
Lies they tell.
So, well, I mean, look, that's a developing story, shall we call it?
Okay.
The Potomac reunion looks were released this week. Ladies in Black. What's your fashion review, Moshi?
Karen was the best dressed, best looking, best everything. That new hair. She's wearing Tony Matuszewski, a man from the lower level. I mean, she could do no wrong. She left no crumbs. 10 out of 10. Do it again.
What do you think about the discourse around how fabulous Giselle looks?
I think fabulous is a stretch. I think it's an improvement, but it's still like knockoff Versace.
I think my thing is that like, Giselle puts on this like simple black dress and is like, everyone is like, yes, mama, you ate. And it's sort of like, wow, the way that she just had to do the bare minimum and the people are like, she looks amazing.
Me, it's still ill-fitting. There's some things about it that could have been finessed.
But it is the best she's ever looked.
For now.
Not for now. Is there anyone that you hated?
I just want to also give an honorable mention to Mia.
Okay.
So you know what it is? I don't know. I think she's got Mia, her face was looking better. But, you know, the photos are edited, so I don't know. The worst dress was Robin. We're not doing the fake Balenciaga anymore, darling. Like, stop with the pants that are also leggings that are also all this stuff. No, it's been done.
Interesting. I don't think she was the worst, though.
Who do you think was the worst?
I think it goes to Ashley. And I think that like a close runner up was potentially Candace.
I think they look bad, but I think Robin was the worst.
Really interesting. I don't think Robin looks so bad.
Ugly legging pants with like a weird corset with a train. Like for me, it's like, I don't know who told you this was couture, but it's not. Just wear a fucking gown. Ashley might have looked boring and simple and not that great. she just wore a gown on her body. Like, it is what it is. Are you going back and looking at the
picture? I feel like Ashley has worn that, like, look a thousand times.
Yes. But that's the thing. You can wear a look multiple times. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what I'm saying is sometimes some people try to be avant-garde, you know, and they shouldn't.
What did you think of the Nigerian ladies? You haven't mentioned them yet.
Wendy looked fine. I don't know the other one.
I know we don't talk about Potomac, but it's funny because in, like, the most recent episode, Mia has managed to get, like, a photo shoot.
Can I just say something, actually?
Yes, you may.
Looking at the other one, she looks amazing. And Wendy does look amazing as well.
Not the other one. Mia.
I'm not finished. I just want to say, I think Wendy has cheated by adding white to her attire because I think you were supposed to wear all black.
So is she disqualified?
It's a faux pas. Oh, and, like, Candace and Ashley are wearing, like, the exact same thing. Of course, with the train. Michelle Visage would not be happy.
Stop relying on that body.
I mean, don't, but also do.
So Mia organizes this photo shoot for a publication for all the women. But Neka isn't invited because, like, no one knows who she is yet because, like, this season hasn't aired by the time that they're filming it. And it's just giving Big Moshy energy by saying the other one, and I don't know her.
I don't know her. I have not watched a single episode. I do not know this woman. Come back to me in 6 months' time and I'll know who she is.
Some other looks that that launched this week were the Real Housewives of Cheshire cast photos for the season 46 Ladies in Gold.
Six of 46, you're funny.
Well, I mean, like, it's interesting to me that they've really, like, they've slowed down on the whole on the Cheshire seasons. They used to be like four a year and we're down to one. It's crazy.
Every time we talk about it, we add another season.
Do you have any thoughts on the women in gold?
Paige is pregnant.
I hate it.
Why?
I mean, love that for her, but hate it for the season.
Okay. This Ellie chick and her boobs. You know what I don't like, Patrizio? I don't like a bad boob job. And Ellie has a bad boob job. Like, I'd be asking for a refund. It literally is like melon here, melon there. They're not actual breasts. They look weird. Like, I'm not going to say it. I was going to say that's what Patrizio off the dark.
Thank you. Any other thoughts?
I mean, it's a lot of foil.
I feel like Lauren's titties in this photo also are quite intense.
Let me have a look at Lauren. Oh, no, but Lauren's, at least they're together. At least they're kissing. At least they know each other. At least they're siblings. Not like seventh cousins like Ellie's. Do you know what I mean? Seventh cousins, 12 times removed. Lugo's boobs are bigger as well.
Someone said that the photo of Lugo was Vicky Gumbelson season 18 promo shot.
It's giving Vicky Gumbelson. You know what I do want to say? Why is Nicole in it?
Why is Nicole in it? The way that she doesn't even want to be on the show anymore.
Like, why is she in it? Well, it'll be interesting now that Hannah's gone. It'll be interesting to see. Anyway, let's not let me get on that catastrophe. One thing that I will say for our listeners is next week we're going to be talking about the premiere episode of The Real Housewives of Cheshire. And we are currently in the midst of a Bravo Housewives drought. So we want you to slide into our DMs and tell us what are the episodes, what are your favorite episodes that you would love for us to rewatch and talk about on the pod over the coming weeks, over the coming months, let's be honest. Sorry, I hijacked your segment.
You're okay, Moshi. That's the word on the street. The Housewives drought is coming.
I mean, it's coming. We're being punished.
Let's move to Atlanta. So the two things this week. First of all, that we receive confirmation from Andy that Sanya is not returning after two seasons, which we kind of already knew. Sad, I think.
I think it's sad because Sanya is the, like, she's got real things happening, but I suspect, I hate to say this, I suspect this might have been Sanya's choice. I think the show, like, I think she's got so many other things going that I think the show was becoming to be a bit of a liability. And I think she has a very specific reputation that she wants to keep. You know, she's got her Nike thing. She's about to be a new mom. She is a new mom. They've got all their businesses. She must be spending more time with Ross. Like, I actually think this was a mutual decision. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see her pop up from time to time as a friend of, if she really did create genuine friendships with any of the ladies.
Do you think that there's any housewife that actually genuinely chooses to leave before being fired?
Yeah, I think Cindy Barshop did. Why do I find a way to bring up Cindy every freaking episode? Like, what is actually wrong with me? I think Portia did initially. I think she left on her own volition when she married Simon. I think, didn't Lydia on the OC as well? Or was she like, she had to leave?
This is what I mean. I'm just like, I don't think that there's a single housewife that would be like, you know what? I'm calling time on this.
No, but I think what happens is there are conversations that happen and expectations are set. And I think some people go, you know what? I'm pretty rich. I do not need those expectations put on me.
I feel like Lisa Vanderpump might be another one.
Well, yes. I think the really great thing about Pinky is that the door is always open for her to return. And to be honest, she needs to be back on that show and out of Vanderpump Rules. That's a whole other podcast.
Beverly Hills, just because we've mentioned it all. This week Anna Marie said that she is returning. Well, she didn't say she's returning. She like posted a photo and hashtagged RHOBH and it led people to believe that that would mean she's coming back for another season. And then Sutton came out straight after and said, no, she's not coming back. And in fact, we're bringing back a housewife from Beverly Hills past.
Carlton.
So, I was about to say, who is it and why is it Eileen Davidson?
No, some people are saying that it's Rinna, that Rinna has been asked back.
I hate it here.
Oh, like if Rinna comes back, I may be boycotting Beverly Hills next season.
So not only will there be a housewives drought, we also just won't be able to talk about anything anymore because you're boycotting multiple franchises at this point.
I will not be boycotting multiple. The rule is I can only boycott one franchise per season. This season, well, I guess it was Potomac. Potomac is between season 5 and season 6 of our podcast because Potomac has been on for 600 years at this point. How is the reunion not airing, you know?
You haven't even been watching and you know that it's been on for 300 years.
I live on the internet. I know that it's on.
I love that for you. So just back to Atlanta then. Portia and Nene are feuding again online because Portia said that she can't do films with Nene. Nene clapped back. Rightfully so, I feel.
I feel so too.
I don't know. How do we feel about all of this? Do we need Andy in the camera?
But then Nene didn't just clap back. She then kind of threw full shade by going on a double date with Simon and his new baddie and then like texted Portia about what's going on. And Portia was like, you've taken a side, bitch. Like now we are done. We could have talked about the movie thing. But now that you're out with Mr. G and his new baddie, it's dunzos. I don't think we do need Andy in a camera because, like, this is just petty this, petty that. Like, these women are both living their best lives. Like, just do what they do. Let them be petty out in these streets.
Thank you.
You know who is the pettiest bitch out of them all, though?
Who?
Simon.
Is he petty?
Oh, he is. The comments that he leaves in people's Instagram posts, like, he needs to be looking after his 67 children.
He needs to go home to his seven children.
His seven children. To be honest, though, like, we should have known when he was with Fallon before, like, the signs were all there. They're just as toxic as each other.
I don't know. I'm not mad about it. Where do my loyalties lie?
Where do your loyalties lie, actually? I'm curious.
Well, with Mr. G.
Really?
Why not?
I thought this was a podcast about women supporting women.
Well, he's in women's business at this point. New York City is about to start filming. Allegedly, all the cast is returning, plus an additional two housewives. And no, they are not Sonia and Luann.
How did you know I was going to ask that?
Because the minute that somebody said that there were two housewives coming on the show, the Luann and Sonia photo started, like, doing the rounds.
You know who it is going to be, though?
I saw one of them.
Oh, so you know that it's Gina Liano.
Normally I am on one, but the fact that I am, like, recognizing you're on one is, like, telling me a lot.
I just want to see how you'd respond if I told you it was Gina Liano and Lydia coming there with the two new additions to Roni. Can I tell you, that would be a sick crossover, though.
You are just not a serious person, Moshi.
Never have been, never claimed to be, never will be.
The thing is, though, that, like, they would, like, no, it's just a no for me.
Well, some of the listeners don't know this, but is it a coincidence that New York is about to start production and I'm about to be in New York? There's the crossover. You didn't see coming.
I mean, look, when we have to put this podcast on hiatus for, like, 3 months while you film.
I'm going to be cleaning people's shoes.
Who's bringing you on the show? Like, who are you the friend of to get introduced?
That's a good one. I'm somebody's assistant. Whose assistant am I? Probably Erin's. And the thing is that I hate her, right? So I'm, like, low-key spreading rumors about her behind her back.
Oh my God, I kind of love that, because there is something to be said about a, like, assistant who turns on the person that they are assisting.
Or I'm Uber's, like, seventh cousin twice removed on her uncle's side who married into South African family. And she's just helping a sister out.
I'm surprised you didn't go for, like, the obvious, which is, like a Psy.
No, I was going to say Jenna. I could never work for Psy. Like, no offense. But I was going to say Jenna Lyons. I could work for Jenna Lyons. I mean, I could be that.
Word on the street is, Moshi, that Jenna Lyons is going to be bringing on Raquel Chevremont to the show.
Who's that?
I don't know. I just had to say it. She's a model and an art curator.
You're just trying to show me that you could say that name, Chevremont.
Yes, I did.
I still felt like you said it wrong. Back to the Duolingo for you.
Merci. Daryl. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about having eight housewives and if the Jenna Lyons is returning is true or not.
I think people are coming back as friends of. They're coming back in half roles.
Interesting.
What's her face? Who's the other one, the youngish one?
Bryn.
She's got a dog now, so that'll be interesting. And we're going to obviously get her fertility journey. That'll be interesting.
She's got to say, getting a dog is giving Sutton Strack storyline.
But when you're Sutton, you get a horse.
Yeah, and when you live in New York City, you have to get a dog.
Well, wait until Sutton is pregnant next season. Then you'll see.
I just, no, it's not After Dark yet. I can't make any comment at this stage.
Are you going to make a Larsa comment?
No. What's the Larsa comment, though? I don't know. Wow, this has really devolved really quickly.
You laughed when I said it. What do you think the Larsa comment?
I don't know. All I can think about is, like, for the last week, I just sit there and I'm like, it's Larsa!
Okay, Adriana.
No, Julia.
Julia, your accent sounded more Adriana.
Oh, well, I never said I could do accents.
Mm.
Should we get into the mess, Washi?
You mean what we've just been doing wasn't the mess?
Right, that was the serious business of this podcast.
Let's get into the mess.
We are talking the season 13 reunion of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I mean, let's do the fun stuff first.
Okay.
This beautiful set. They've got the huge giant screen with, they're on top of the hills, looking down on LA. Fabulous. I love it. This is the future of the reunions.
Yeah, I think you're definitely right. Like, it needs to be simple set with very expensive backdrop.
It's just beautiful. And I love how it's live and you can see all the lights. Beautiful. Just beautiful.
Just beautiful.
Beautiful skyline.
Beautiful skyline. Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns. Dorit had to be stitched into hers and was 2 hours late.
That's what happens when you drink full sugar Coke. Okay.
The thing that bothered me the most about Dorit's outfit was the fact that you could see that like that clip the entire time.
By the third part, you could see the clip. It was slowly slipping back because it's obviously hot in there with all the lights. Things are melting, things are drooping, and I am with you. Once I could see, and I don't know, Patricia, but I feel like the cameras were deliberately getting the clip in the shot because they knew it was going to drive Dory crazy when she watched it back.
Yeah, it was just, it was disappointing. It was, I mean, look, like Dory was on a budget and she, all she could afford was a piece of red fabric wrapped around her head and she couldn't even like get it wrapped properly. I don't know. It's just.
I just know that this reunion was designed to drive Dory crazy.
Interesting. We found out that it's actually Anna Marie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the Dutch pronunciation.
Good for her.
I'm kind of disappointed that we all just weren't mispronouncing her name.
I wish I cared. I just don't care.
What else did you think about the reunion overall and the fashions, the sets, the...
Overall, it was one part too many.
Yes.
I think the thing that kind of really shocked me the most is when I was like, I didn't expect the reunion to be Dorit versus everyone or, you know, Elise versus Garcelle versus Sutton versus Kyle. Like, I did not realize that Dorit was going to actually have to be defending herself that much. And it's kind of interesting when things are packaged. And then you watch it back, like, you know, to Sutton's point, the reunion is a closure. But when things are packaged and then you put everything together, like Dorit started the season so strong and boy, did she flop by the end of it. Like, because she started so strong, she flopped even harder.
Yeah. I mean, I just truly feel like the end of the season and the reunion, it was like, it was the farewell tour for Dorit.
It felt a little bit like that.
I felt like I got closure on the Dorit segment of the reunion.
Yeah, I don't know that she necessarily has anywhere to go from here. But I thought the thing that was really, when I say that I felt like the whole show was set up to drive Dorit crazy, I just feel like, whether people were doing it knowingly or unknowingly, but like Kyle talking about what a great friend Erica is right at the beginning of the show. And then, you know, talking about what a great friend this person is and that person is. And you know, for like getting to a point where Dorit finally said, like, are we friends sort of thing? Like, and then Kyle said, we are good, but we're not that close. Like there was little sort of that sort of shade from Kyle. And then when Dorit had to just plain out ask Garcelle, do you like me? I was like, whoa, what is happening? Like, I actually was starting to feel sorry for the microaggressor that is Dorit Kemsley.
Wow. Breaking news. Moshi feels sorry for Dorito.
A white woman. Mm. I don't know. It was just very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I just don't see where Dorito goes from here, you know? And I don't really care.
It feels a little bit like, well, you don't really care. I feel like it's a shame to end like this. If Kyle doesn't return next season, I would be interested in seeing what Dorit is like on the show without Kyle. But it's funny, today somebody posted, I think it was like Real Bad Fashions or someone, they posted this clip from like Dorit and was it, what's Vidal Sassoon? Is it Vidal Sassoon? Who was the, what was her name, Erin?
Not Erin. Mrs. Sassoon.
The daughter, what was her name, or the granddaughter, whatever.
Yeah, Mrs. Sassoon.
Mrs. Sassoon, you've forgotten her first name as well. But somebody posted this clip of like, you know, OG Dorit on the show just being like actually insane and like really owning just like pretending to be a rich lady. I mean, we didn't know it was pretense then, but like really leaning into like really eccentric things, like apparently like, you know, having her pool up to close to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So very hot because her son was doing private lessons, like just these little quirky things that Dorit used to do. And I'm just like, I miss that side of her. Like what has happened? I need an expose. What has happened to Dorit?
Well, what happened was the money's gone. The money's run out. It's run dry. Like she hasn't, you can't afford to heat your pool that much if you have no money to pay the bills.
But apparently the money was never there because when she met PK, he was bankrupt. So there's no prenup.
I think it was the money there? No. But were the lines of credit open? Yes. Oh. Right. I think what's happened is that they are in such significant debt at this point. And you have to remember as well that like over the last like, you know, 9 years that she's been on the show, PK as well has gone through some like debt issues. Like he owed that casino money. Like there's been other things that have happened that I think have also contributed to the fact that like now they truly, they can't get a loan. They remember they were doing that thing where they were like changing house every season. And then we found out that it was because like, you know, they were running this business for their friend where it was like, they were basically living in the house to show it off on TV. And then it would get snapped up by a buyer or whatever afterwards. Like, I just don't think that they can get a loan. I think that they're like over their eyeballs in debt. And it's now come to crunch time where it's like, well, if we don't make significant changes in our lifestyle, that we're not going to ever be able to do this. And I don't think they want to declare bankruptcy because like Dorit's not going to want that on her record.
But at the same time, this is where she's making a ton of cash from, right? So,
well, it might be the only cash that's like coming in really.
Well, she did just also do some pantomimes in the UK for Panto season.
Like, what happened to all the businesses, the Beverly Beach, the Beverly, like the wedding dresses, like all these things that have happened over the years, and they're just, it's all gone. Boy George doesn't even want to stay at their house anymore. Like it's all very sad.
All right. Anyway, moving on from Dorit, I had an expectation as well that I thought we would get to the Kyle and Morgan of it all very, very early on, but they left it like right up until the very last minute.
I completely disagree with you. That was always going to be like part three of the reunion.
I thought part three was going to be more Kathy's revenge.
Well, I feel like we didn't know Kathy was coming until like part one, you know, so.
But the producers did. They had it planned all along.
I think Kathy fits into the Morgan of it all, though.
Okay, fair enough.
As a big sister, she wants to support her new lesbian little sister.
Yeah, true. All right, so just talking back a little bit about Dorit and Kyle and their conflict, did you think that the message that Kyle sent Dorit was manipulative?
I don't think it was manipulative, but I think it was an attempt to avoid having to discuss things at the reunion.
And what do you think? Oh, yep. Sorry.
No, you please go.
And do you think that Kyle was able to evade one, like ever having to be like, how honest was Kyle throughout this reunion for you compared to other seasons?
I don't think she's dishonest, but I think she's not giving the full truth.
Yeah.
I think, you know, she's had her media training and I think she knows how to answer a question. And I think, you know, she is very good at, you know, stopping, you know, tension and drama between two people. I feel like that's kind of what she did with Dorit. It was kind of like a, let's not talk about this because you know what? I love you and we're going to spend some time. We're going to figure this out and all the rest of it. Sort of like, it was very like, oh, okay. So like, this is kind of your opportunity to do that, Kyle, but you're trying to take it offline because you just don't want it on the show.
And what do you think about her sort of coming for Sutton and saying that Sutton didn't give us anything decent on the show either? And then sort of saying that over the years she has given us enough. Did you feel like any part of that was deflecting? Did you feel like Kyle was justified in her attempts at providing receipts for, you know, where she thinks that she's given us stuff?
That all Sutton has given us is a horse and a dating coach. Like, I mean, she kind of dragged her.
She did. But at the same time, from Sutton, it's enough.
I think the thing that Kyle is getting confused with here is like, because she lists off like milestones in her family. Like, you know, my children grew up on this show. They like got their licenses. They went to college. I bought a house. I did this. Like, that's letting us in on like a very superficial level of like what's going on in my life. I've given you the detail, but what we're actually talking about is, you know, what are the emotions and the backstory and the actual, like the truth to sort of what's going on. And I think that's not what Kyle has ever given us. I think that she's never really gotten into, you know, the depths of it all. I think that's also very Beverly Hills. Like, Beverly Hills is a town full of secrets, right? And everyone is very, you know, like everyone has something to hide and they don't want it out in public and all the rest of it. Whereas I think Sutton has been an open book. I think she lets us see and we see the emotion. And it's sort of like also that thing of like, in the three seasons that Sutton has been on, I know more about her backstory than I do Kyle's or Dorit's. Perhaps Erica is probably the only other one that's been, let's say, open about their lives. So I don't know, like Sutton's done more work in 3 years than Kyle's done in like 13 yeah. seasons.
But, and I think the other side of it as well for me is that Kyle has this expectation, like all of Kyle's anger towards the other women is because her expectation is that they won't hold her accountable or they won't call her out on things. She expects them just to be like, when she says, I wanted you just to be my friend last year with Kyle. Like, I actually think it's quite interesting the way she perceives how Dorit sort of, I actually did think that it was Dorit coming into bat for her last season, but she sees it as because you are not seeing it from her specific perspective, because you are not simply, you know, patting her on the back and giving her a plus one to whatever neurosis she's going through. She takes it as a very personal attack. And that's the issue that I have with Kyle, is that she can't see beyond her own nose, so to speak.
I think we forget Kyle, because she's had her facelifts and she's looking so good at the moment, she is an old lady.
Yeah.
You know who I was gagged at? Is Sutton even 50 years old? No, there was somebody else, I think, at this.
Because when Kathy says, oh, you're 49, it's a hot flash, but we'll talk about it.
I was like, really? She's not even 50?
I thought she was going to be like 55.
Yes, like Kyle Richards, like how Kyle Richards, I'm searching it now. I need to know. She is 55 years old. Like, she's an old lady.
That's not old anymore, Patrizio.
Well, she's 50, Sutton is 52. But I'm just mean in the sense of like her mentality on these things, right? I think it's a generational thing. Because it's the same. Crystal has constantly called her out on it, which is like, my truth is different to your truth because of how we perceive it, the same situation, right? And Kyle's like, no, no, the truth is the truth. And that's like the one that I'm presenting you to you today, right? So she just has this issue where she just truly can't empathize with anyone else.
No, but she expects everyone to empathize with her. It's very interesting. I mean, she definitely has a bit of the queen bee spoiled brat mentality, and we've seen it over the years. With people coming and going. Was there a housewife who sort of surprised you the most during the reunion?
I think that I, perhaps not a housewife who surprised me, but something that did was that Anna Marie got like zero airtime. I feel like in the lead up to the reunion, there was kind of this narrative that Andy in particular was trying to peddle of like Anna Marie really like, you know, she, what's the word? When she redeemed herself on the Spain trip and she's like, you know, she's friends with everyone and she kind of like resolved her differences with like Crystal. But then, yeah, she kind of was like a non-entity at the reunion. I just thought, I was kind of surprised by that. I was thinking like, where is the, you know, her opportunity, given that Andy was like pushing it so hard to finally sort of redeem herself on the reunion stage.
That moment though, in the first part, like Andy really praised her. Andy spoke to her about her confidence. I was really shocked that we didn't talk about the allegations about her husband.
But yeah, so I guess she got her moment, but then she's completely silenced for the rest of the reunion. And it's sort of like, if you're saying that she's a player and she's here to stay and she redeemed herself and she's actually a really good housewife, surely you would be editing it in a certain way that doesn't completely erase her from Beverly Hills history. Like, I feel like Diana Jenkins got more airtime at her final reunion than Anna Marie did.
But I think what happened is a lot of the stuff that was tied to Anna Marie got lost in the Crystal of it all. And it got to the point where, like, at that end, when it's Crystal and Anna Marie sitting on the same couch, that felt really right. Like, they are kind of orbiting this friend of role, but they just happen to have a diamond sort of thing. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Because I don't think like Erica, this is where it's a little bit different, and you can tell that somebody who knows how to do a reunion, like Erica Jane didn't get that much airtime either. I reckon she got about the same amount. But what Erica does while everything else is happening is so important. I think I said to you before we started the podcast that Erica was my favorite person on the reunion because her face said so much without saying too much. She had a comment with her eyes for every little thing and the camera was picking it up. And that's what I think people don't understand you're supposed to do at a reunion.
She was giving the Sonia Morgan, like, she was giving the little quips here and there as people were talking about things. She was giving the reaction bids, like, she was sitting in between, like, you know, the big feud of, like, Kyle versus Dorit. Like, there was, she was
like, picking with Kathy, like, but this is the thing about Erica. She knows how to entertain.
She is the showman.
She is shaking her little ponytail, so.
I need to read. What about Garcelle? I feel like Garcelle, again, was surprising. I feel like the way she doubles down on things, I don't know. I feel like Garcelle was not likable in this reunion.
So I can't remember where it was, but a couple of weeks ago, somebody commented on Garcelle's behavior and articulated it in a way that I just love. So she's not double downing, like, because you double down when you say something wrong, right? And Garcelle is not, at least to Garcelle, she's not saying something wrong. Like, I'll give you an example, like, not wrong, but something like hyperbolic you double down on, like Larsa and like the having sex every day five times. Like, it's like, maybe every now and then we're happy for you, but it's like just stuff that is so hyperbolic, right? Whereas Garcelle's sort of thing is, yeah, but I that's how I genuinely felt. Like, she's not going to apologize. She's not going to say she's sorry because she's not sorry.
But okay, so the one example that I'm thinking of is basically where Dorit, you know, the Dorit's home invasion is discussed, right? And, you know, the whole discussion around why would the intruder leave your phone by the front door if basically Garcelle's, you know, insinuation is that perhaps that person was known to you and that's why they would have done this, like, you know, nice thing in the terrible thing that they had done. And it's just like, again, I think, like, okay, is that's not hyperbolic. I don't think that situation. I think that's a lived experience. And I think there's a point where even if you think it, you just have to be like, you know what, Dorit, sure, that's exactly what happened. That makes sense. Like, all good. I'm moving on. I'm sorry.
But there's a social commentary there about Garcelle's own lived experience. That kind of, like, I hate to say it, because obviously I did a rewatch. And at first, the very first time I saw that, I was like, Garcelle, come on. Like, you're being so unreasonable here. But then I just sort of then I reframed it a little bit after watching all of the episodes sort of in a row. And it's like, that sort of shit just doesn't happen to Black people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, of course the lovely, nice white lady gets robbed and then they leave the phone. Like, I think it is really unbelievable to other people who that would just not happen to anybody else. I don't think that Dorit is making it up. I don't think Dorit was in cahoots with the people, but I think there are things that I think you can question it if things aren't making sense and they're not friends.
Yeah, but I think this is the thing. It's sort of like, it's that moment of like, maybe Garcelle just needs to give the side eye to the camera and that's enough said on that topic. I don't know. I feel like, do I believe Dorit? I'm not sure. You know, I'm kind of team Garcelle in that way, but I just.
This is one of those things where you don't actually have to be in anybody's team. Like, for me, no, I think that, like, I can say it's not the way I would have handled it, but I understand why Garcelle handled it the way she did.
Okay. We can just agree that Garcelle was surprising in that way.
I wasn't surprised by Garcelle's behavior. I mean, that's how she is, especially when it comes to Dorit. I think she was just she was owning it, to quote Lisa Rinna.
Not the ghost of Lisa Rinna.
The moment, though, that surprised me the most is obviously when Kathy Hilton put a hex on Sutton. Like, in front of our eyes, we saw it happen. There was a question from Andy. The look happened. Sutton almost died.
Why? Okay. I'm willing to engage with you on this only to ask the question.
I have a podcast, so you kind of have to.
Well, apparently not. We have a podcast, but you're just boycotting several seasons of The Housewives at this point. So
I have boycotted one. You need to
And you have threatened to boycott others. Okay.
Stop with your hyperbolic. Do you want to know the difference between you and me? I keep my threats. My threats are real. You make empty threats. Anyway. Team Hoshi, Team Patrizio, let us know in the DMs.
If Kathy Hilton was about to come for Sutton next, right, and she was ready to, like, smack down with her, why would she hex her to then have her have a medical episode and have to leave the reunion?
It's a simple mix-up where you don't realize how much power you have in the moment and you accidentally expel too much power.
What if, like, she had accidentally set Sutton on fire? Not understanding the true power of her witchery.
I think she understands her true power, but I think she didn't realize in that moment like how forceful the hex was. I also think that Sutton was maybe a little bit more vulnerable than normal. Like maybe Sutton was missing like an evil eye pendant or something. Do you know what I mean? Like she normally has something that wards her off. So I feel like Kathy hasn't had an opportunity to test her power on Sutton in such a way. But you can't tell me that a hex wasn't done. It's fucking recorded. It's on the television.
So if you're suggesting that Sutton usually has an evil eye, my question to you is why did Merce not protect her in that moment? Merce was in the purse.
Merce is gone.
Yeah, but he was in the purse. He, like, why did he...
Merce isn't an entity living physical. Merce can't do anything. I'm sorry. At this point, we know that Merce has nothing.
What's the point of having a guardian angel in Merce and carrying around his ashes?
He's not, because he's obviously not her guardian angel. She's deluding herself.
Whoa.
At the end of the day, the other side of it is could be that she didn't realize that Kathy was coming because they didn't know Kathy was going to be on the show. And she forgot to protect herself. That's the real reason why Garcelle was like, oh, because she was like, shit, we forgot to put our protection spells.
So do you think that...
That's why Garcelle had to leave as well. She was coming for both of them.
What has Kathy... So I think Kathy was a bit of a disappointment on this reunion because, and perhaps because she was there to take down Sutton and Garcelle and that couldn't happen. But she's like...
a bitch. The shade that she threw fucking Sutton while Sutton was dying, amazing.
What was the purpose of Kathy Hilton? Why was she there? I feel like I didn't really understand that in the end.
She was there because she was there to protect Kyle, and she was there because she was finally going to show Never Come Up Against the Richards girls. And she was finally going to publicly denounce Sutton. And instead, she almost killed her.
Why can't you publicly denounce someone even if they have to leave the set?
Well, I think she did. I think we caught on the mic and I was just about to go for her. And she also was throwing all those little shades. Like, Kathy and Sutton are done.
But they're going on vacation together to Europe.
I don't believe it. You see who comes back from that trip. You watch Sutton will have a little broken arm, a little broken finger.
My God, okay.
Truly there is an altar and people go and give their blood to Kathy Hilton. That is what Erica Jayne is saying. The woman owns the town.
I love how she told everyone that she like had been forwarding the video to everyone about that. Like...
She has, because that's how like esteemed she is. You think Scientology is fucked. The religion of Kathy Hilton, the people who worship Kathy Hilton, it's different, honey.
Kathytology.
Kathy Honests.
Interesting.
She's the real Catholicism.
Catholicism with a K.
Yes.
Does that make me a Catholic? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Catholic.
Oh my God. Moshi, put it on a t-shirt. I think Kathy was there because I feel that there was a possibility of Kyle having come out at this reunion, but it didn't happen.
You mean to tell me, I think it did happen.
When did it happen?
At the end.
When he's like, would you hook up with Morgan, like be with Morgan? And she was
Kyle says, it is clear, and I'm paraphrasing, it is clear that I'm obviously evolving. I am going through something. I am changing. She didn't rule out ever being in a relationship with a woman. She said it. It's obvious that I was curious. That's why I kissed Morgan in that video clip. Like, she is not saying that she's a lesbian, but she's definitely saying that she is open, that she's interested in experiencing what's on the other side. And to me, that is, like, I don't think people need to come out, but I think it is an honesty about just saying, I am not hetero. She's hetero flexible, you know. Maybe she's bi, maybe she's pan, maybe she's like, I am nothing, you know. But I think what we got from that is that she's down.
She's down to go down.
I wonder if she would go down. I feel like she would still have somebody else go down on her.
She's not ready to make that commitment.
Just not a dumb top.
I mean, look, I loved when Sutton was like the ally auntie on the stage, and she was like, you know what, we will love you no matter who you love and what you choose and who you are and all the rest of it. I was like, that is like literally something somebody says to you when you're like not out the closet, but it's really obvious that like you are on the queer spectrum.
That is true friendship. That is true love. That is support. That is what we need.
But it was also a little shady, I think.
I don't think it was. I think it was genuine. I think, to be honest, I think what people were saying is that it speaks to Kyle's lack of authenticity over the years. I think if Kyle was able to finally sort of say, yes, I am interested in being with women, I think everybody would forgive all of the other shit that Kyle had done because it would give them a way to make sense of Kyle's, you know, bad behavior, so to speak. She's going through something. She's confused. She doesn't know what to do. It's taken her a long time. I think they all appreciate it. And I think one of the things I was thinking about is the lack of husbands on Miami and on Beverly Hills. Like, we're starting to see that being phased out. And then I was like, no, but is it also just because the majority of the women of this show are divorced or separated as well? And I think there is something in that from a woman who is being divorced and who went through such a hard marriage and divorce like Sutton, to see another woman going through that and coming out on the other end, knowing herself more. I think it's just sisterhood.
I think, unfortunately, because Sutton is a Southern woman and she's got that Southern drawl, that anything she says does come off as a little bit shady at all times.
But she's, like, fairly cosmopolitan. She's lived – I feel like Sutton lived just as long in New York as she did live in the Southern states. Like
– No, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying that, like, to have said that at that moment, it was just a bit, like – you know, it was authentic, but I think with everything that Sutton says and does, it was a little awkward.
The other person who was like, get him, girl, was Erica Jane again with her quips. Like, every time Andy asked Kyle a question alluding to her desire to be with Morgan, and you would just see Erica be like, oh, oh, like just tinging. And then once Kyle sort of said, well, yes, and it was... Erica seemed constipated, and then she seemed like she'd finally been able to shit. It's just relaxed so much. I know it's the worst analogy, but she just seemed so tense. And then she just sort of was like, yes. And she was like, come on, Kyle, get in the lady pond.
Yeah, I feel like Erica is all of us just sitting there being like, just say it. Just say it.
You know who wasn't feeling it, though, is Doreen.
Well, I guess Dorit's one of those people that's like, oh my God, I used to share a bed with her. Like, was she like looking at me naked in the shower? Like, that's who Dorit is. I'm sorry, Dorit, if you're not like that, but.
No, but I also feel like with Dorit, it's like, well, if she's going to like any woman, why isn't it me?
I think, look, I think the first stage is the, oh my God, I did like things that could be lesbian with her. And then it's like, but also why hasn't she chosen me? That's like step two on this journey.
Correct.
And step three is becoming a lesbian to try and get with Kyle. You're not on board. Oh, okay.
No, I'm just thinking. I was like, I could see that. Okay. Anything else you want to sort of say about the Kyle, the Mauricio, the Kathy of it all?
I just think overall, this reunion gave nothing.
I agree. And
it's unfortunate that given that there was so much going on with Kyle and Mauricio, I just feel like we really didn't get any answers. I feel like we didn't get any context, any backstory. I feel like the only thing that we kind of got out of her was the fact that like they have discussed moving out, and that it would be Kyle keeping the house and Mauricio moving out, which I think
the house is hugely owns a real estate agency. Like, this is so weird.
Yeah, but like, it's sort of like, I guess it's the thing of like, you know, you have been together for 27 years and it's a huge thing to then all of a sudden sort of be like, oh shit, like what happens now? Like, you've only ever really lived with that person, you know, she's 55 years old, 27 years. Like, that's a long time.
But I feel like they have already been living very separate lives. Like, they're in Aspen. They don't really seem to be in the house at the same time unless they absolutely have to be. So, I mean, I think we've spoken about this before. I think a lot of this stuff has to do with money. And I know America also has, like, very bizarro laws sometimes about, like, what happens if somebody leaves and somebody does this? Like, it's always very tricky. Whereas here in the lower level, these things are much simpler.
I think there was an allegation in the press recently by some of their friends that they were protracting their marriage issues longer for publicity. Obviously, you know, Mauricio's got his show airing at the moment, and that's an ongoing conversation there. Like, I think there's also a bit of that going on as well.
You know, one thing that I will say is, I don't know if you, towards the end in that final part, I really did think that Kyle was going to have a bit of a nervous breakdown, because you can see, like, as much as you talk about her having media training, she's not very poised. And when she actually does get emotional, she does not know how to contain that in any way, shape or form. Like, she goes, and it's, you know, I think it's a trait of their family, because I would say that Kim can get emotional and be a viper. Whereas when Kyle gets emotional, she cannot control what comes out of her mouth and how she feels. And we did get some real insights. And I think to your point, I don't think that she, I genuinely don't believe that she made this thing go on any longer for television. I think she wanted to be out of it. I think Mauricio 100% prolonged it for as long as he could to get the most out of it. But I really don't think that Kyle did, because like we got 10 minutes of genuine emotion from her, and you could see, like, I really thought she was going to have an aneurysm.
You know, which exchange kind of sums up my feelings on, like, this reunion? It was Andy asking Erica, can you explain why you met with the victim's wives? And Erica saying, no, I cannot.
This is the thing about Erica. Erica and being a robot sometimes is amazing.
But I just feel like that completely sums up like this reunion, right? It's like, can you explain something that happened this season? It's like, no, I cannot. It's like, and we're moving on. Like,
well, it's the first time we've had somebody, like two people had to leave for a medical emergency.
That Sutton finally got first chair and she couldn't even sit through three parts of a reunion, honestly.
Good. She did herself a favor. She knew it was boring. What's happening next season, Patty?
What's happening next season? I mean, I feel like we've discussed this before. I think that more or less all of these women will be returning. Is Kyle
coming back with a new girlfriend? Or is Morgan here to stay?
I don't actually know what the status on Morgan is. I feel like the Morgan and Kyle of it all is kind of dunzos.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
She's the rebound, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, is Kathy Hilton coming back?
No,
you don't think so?
She's done. She doesn't need this show.
It's weird to me that we had to then like trot her out for this reunion if we're not like bringing her back in some capacity, let's say.
I think Kathy called to be on the show. I think she asked, and I think nobody is ever going to say no to giving Kathy Hilton screen time. I think she did what needed to be done on her end, which was exterminate, put someone in hospital. I think she was going to watch it back and she's going to not be happy with how she came across. I mean, look, I love Kathy Hilton as much as the next person, but she's not a nice person.
We've decided this a while ago, we don't expect our housewives to be nice people anymore.
She's particularly evil. Like,
look, I think next season we can expect all these women to come back. Erica will then be the second longest running housewife on Beverly Hills, which is absolutely like wild to think about. The only person I could see perhaps not returning is Dorit, only because I just feel like I felt a finality in her reunion. I felt like she really got an opportunity to say goodbye to the audience.
No, I don't think she did. And I think she needs the cash, so she's coming back. But I think we're going to get woke Dorit next season. I think she's going to split up with PK next season. I think, like, she's going to do what needs to be done to secure her seat and secure the dollars. We're going to see her homeschooling. Maybe she'll actually let her kids go to school. Like, it's all happening.
What about Right Couch? Crystal and Anna Marie, like, what's their status for you?
Well, you know what we didn't talk about this week on the Word on the Cobblestones? I don't know if you caught this. Crystal's dad died.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Same day that he died, Jeff got engaged.
I saw that Jeff got engaged.
That her dad died and Jeff got engaged, like, on the same day.
I felt like her dad was already dead.
No, I feel like, or maybe it was the anniversary of his death then.
Because did Crystal make reference to the dad dying?
Oh, yeah, it's on her Instagram. Not us having like a little outro, a little appendix to the pod.
I mean, look, I don't follow Crystal Minkoff.
Okay, the From the Lower Level account does.
7 years ago, he left this earth, Moshi.
Oh, okay. I didn't see the 7 years ago. Well, it's on the same day that her brother. Are they not the same? Happening at the same time? Who cares? Anyway,
the way that you just like you are creating some romantic, you know,
not romantic.
One was on the 14th of March, and the other one was on the like, what's that? 6 days ago, like the 15th, ma'am. I'm gonna have to ask you to, like, the way I have to live fact check you. Like, I feel like I'm on CNN or like I'm. We are pulling away from this broadcast because there were some lies that were being spilled, and we cannot in good faith continue to broadcast. Like,
who are we? Okay.
Don't the production company.
Do not Kate Middleton Photoshop me right now, okay? Where is Jitsio?
Do we think Kate Middleton is coming to Beverly Hills next season?
With Megan.
Oh my God. But Megan's a friend of, because these bastards would.
Love it. I love it. Can you imagine if Megan was coming back on? That would be amazing. Anyway, that's us. Consistency. 2 weeks in a row, we release the pod. Next week, we're going to be talking The Real Housewives of Cheshire and potentially Bet It on Blonde. So if you listen, that's your homework. Let's watch Bet It on Blonde. Let's watch Cheshire. Let's come together next week, girlies, and let's have some chats.
Honestly, I don't know whether you're talking to me or the people when you say all of the above. Watch Cheshire, watch Bet It on Blonde.
I'm talking to everybody who is listening.
How many episodes of Bet It All on Blonde?
Doesn't matter. You've got time.
Why don't you have the answers to my questions? I think it's only 2 episodes. That's okay.
You'll be fine.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Oh, Denise, put her back on TV. Okay. That's the end of the podcast.
Goodbye, Moshi.
Bye.